Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the first chapter of Ezekiel. The first chapter of Ezekiel. If you get in your car and go down to Interstate 70 and start going west, you'll come pretty quickly into Ohio and then pass through Indiana and Illinois, and it's a little longer trip getting through Missouri, but you'll come to Kansas, and you'll begin to get onto the high plains. And once you get onto those plains, if it's in the springtime and in the afternoon, you may encounter, as you're on the road in the distance, a thunderstorm coming from the west. And you'll be able to see the dark clouds in the distance, because the land is flat, and you'll be able to see the lightning in those clouds. And if the sun is just right, you'll be able to see a bright aura around those clouds, shimmering in brightness. There is light around the darkness of those clouds. And as you approach closer and you get into the rain and the thunder rumbles and the lightning crashes, it can be quite terrifying. But as you emerge from the storm and the sun is shining, you'll often see the rainbow. And not just a piece of a rainbow, but a rainbow across the whole of the horizon. That complete arc of color. And you know that God, in His grace, has been with you through the storm, and you can proceed on your journey. And it's like that in life, is it not? That when you come to the storms of life, you have to pass through those storms, and in those storms you seek the refuge of God, and you wonder about the judgments of God, and you think about the grace of God, and then you emerge from the storm and you are able to give thanks to God, because as you pass through that storm, you likely have a better understanding of God's judgments and a better understanding of God's grace. When we come to Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel is in the midst of the storm of the exile, and he's approached by the glory and the majesty of God. And part of the lesson that Ezekiel must learn is that God is great, even in the midst of that exile, even in the midst of this great storm of life. And he needs to come to grips in a better way, and the people need to come to grips in a better way with the judgments of God, and through that, with the grace and the mercy of God. And so that's the lesson I want you to get this morning as we look at this text in Ezekiel chapter 1. That when the storms of life do come along, you must take refuge in the majesty and the glory of God. And you must understand in a better way the judgments of God. And you must experience the grace of God. Let's look at our text now. First verses 1 through 3. Now it came about in the 13th year of the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Kabar among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month in the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar. And there the hand of the Lord came upon him. Ezekiel was in exile, and he had been taken into exile about 5 years previously with King Jehoiakim of Judah. The great storm of the wrath of God upon Jerusalem was yet to come. Ezekiel was taken in the second deportation of three. And Nebuchadnezzar was to come a final time and to destroy utterly Jerusalem. And Ezekiel was now in Babylon, and many of his brothers and sisters were in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was there. Jeremiah was preaching in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was forecasting the final destruction of that great city. But the people of Jerusalem and the people in the exile were not taking heed to the words of Jeremiah. In fact, they did not like the words of Jeremiah at all. And the people of the exile did not believe that Jerusalem would find its final demise. They thought the people in Jerusalem were better off than they were. They were in exile, but those people back there were still in the city and enjoying the things of the city. But it was not to be so. The faithful remained in Jerusalem, and the faithful remained in exile, separated from those who were in Jerusalem, along with those who had been sinners and reprobates. Altogether, that group of people had been taken into exile, showing us, and it's a good lesson for you and me, that the faithful do not escape the heavy hand of God's providence. And so this was the scene. And there Ezekiel was by the river Kabar. And as our text says, the heavens opened and he saw a great vision. Look at verse 4. As I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. There Ezekiel saw it across the plain. The great storm was coming, not from the south as was the custom of those storms, but this storm was coming from the north. And he could see the lightning. And maybe in the distance, he could hear the rumble of the thunder. And this storm was a little unique because it was coming from the north. And even at a distance, Ezekiel could perceive the bright light, the aura surrounding that storm as it slowly approached he and the exiles that were by the river Kabar. This was a great vision, as verse 1 tells us, and as verse 4 tells us. But also in verse 28, at the very end of the chapter, it says, there was the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds, as on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Ezekiel understands it is a vision of God. It is the glory of God coming to the exiles. And this is extraordinary, because the glory of the Lord had been back there in Jerusalem, back there in the temple, back there hovering over the Holy of Holies. This was the appropriate place for the Shekinah glory and the attending accoutrements of the glory of God. There was the place for the manifestation of God's presence. But now God's presence was departing from that temple in Jerusalem. And God's presence was coming inevitably in a great storm, coming to the exiles who were themselves seemingly in the midst of a storm of life. And as we look at our text, we see that as the storm comes closer, Ezekiel is treated with a better vision, a better view of this approaching glory of God. There are great creatures and wheels and a great firmament upon which there is a great throne. Look with me now at verses 5 and following. Within it, that is, within the approaching storm, there were figures resembling four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like calves' hooves. And they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, were human hands, and for the faces and wings of the four of them. Their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion. On the right, and on the face of a bull, the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above, and each had two touching another being, two covering their bodies. And each went straight forward. Whenever the Spirit was about to go, they would go, without turning as they went. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches, darting back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright, and the light was flashing from the fire. And the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. We can only take the high notes here. These living creatures, having the form basically of a human, but yet very striking and very different. They each had four faces. How could that be? They had the face of a man and the face of a lion and the face of an eagle and the face of a bull. And these would have been familiar faces to those who were in captivity, because the bull and the lion and the eagle often was at the gate of a city or at the door of a temple. And they represented the false deities of Babylon. And the great God of heaven was above them. The great God of heaven was superior to them. And in this vision, Ezekiel saw that this was the case. And they each had four wings. And they covered their bodies and they stretched out their wings and touched one another. And then there were great wheels that were beside these living beings. Verses 15 and following. Now as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth, the living beings, beside the living beings for each of the four of them. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl. And all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. Wheels within wheels. That's where that saying comes from. Perhaps you've heard it. They're very extraordinary. And here were these great wheels. I doubt whether this auditorium could contain one of them. So awesome and so lofty and so great were these wheels. And they were of beryl. Pure beryl is translucent. And so the lightning flashes would come through that translucent beryl and sparkle and shine and be awesome in sight. Reading on, whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. The wheels within the wheels were likely wheels that were perpendicular to each other, so that when they rolled in one direction, they could do so, and when they rolled in another direction, they could do so with ease. As for the rims, they were lofty and awesome, and all the rims of all four of them were full of eyes all around. Sounds like a science fiction flick, doesn't it? And you would get the picture of this awesome sight. Verse 19, Whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels also. Whenever the Spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. The wheels rose beside them, for the Spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. Whenever those stood still, these stood still. Whenever those rose from the earth, the wheels rose close beside them, for the Spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. It appears that the wheels was actually the power, the motivation, the transport of the great chariot upon which God was riding. And the wings of the cherubim, as they are later designated in chapter 10, is really not the vehicle on which this great chariot was moving. The wings were not the propulsion system, as it were, but these great wheels, which portray that they are alive somehow, able to see, able to move. A representation of the spiritual world in which these great cherubim were living. But then Ezekiel sees something else in this vision as we come to verse 22. There is, as it were, a great platform, a great dome of crystal over the cherubim. Verse 22. And now over the heads of the living creatures, there was something like an expanse, a firmament, like the awesome gleam of crystal spread out over their heads. This was probably a great dome that looked like the dome of heaven. And of course, you know, crystal is clear. And if you understand the heavens correctly, the heavens are clear. You can see through the heavens to the glory of the stars and the sun, which is much closer. And so it was with this dome that was covering over the cherubim and the wheels. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another. Each one also had two wings, covering its body on the one side and on the other. I also heard the sound of their wings, the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And so this great expanse over the cherubim. I think we have no idea how large, how awesome, how great this great expanse and this sight of the cherubim might be. I don't know if any of you have been to Florida and visited the NASA site there and seen some of the rocket engines and some of the older rockets. And when you stand beside those engines, it seems like you're an ant. They're a small fly. Those engines are so great, and they hover so high. I expect this vision was greater that Ezekiel saw. And this representation of the glory and the majesty of God coming to him. And as Ezekiel looks and ponders, he sees high above the firmament the throne. And we read further in verse 26, now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled the throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upwards something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was radiance about him. Yes, on the throne above the firmament was a man, and the throne had a bluish, dark blue color, and it sparkled with gold. And I'm sure this was due to the lightning flashes that were occurring. And the man, the appearance of the man, the image of the man on the throne was glowing with bronze and brightly. And we're reminded of Revelation and the representation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And in verse 28, what do we have? As the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I submit to you, friends, this was likely a pre-incarnate manifestation of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, who is coming to the exiles, coming, and the tokens of judgment were coming with Him. But not only the tokens of judgment were coming with Him, the tokens of grace, the tokens of the covenant promises of God, the tokens of His mercy. Verse 28, once again. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. And all around that great vision, there appeared this glowing rainbow reminding the people, the exiles, and reminding you and me of the rainbow that God set in the heavens after the great flood, promising that He would never again destroy the earth with waters as He had done. The token of God's covenant, the token of God's mercy. And even as the rumbling thunder and the clouds and the lightning represented the judgments of God, which the exiles were feeling, and they could taste the smack of those judgments, yet they understood, and God was displaying to them that mercy and grace was coming to them in the midst of that storm in which they found themselves. All of this, friends, look forward to another time, 500 years later, when the people of God were rebellious, and Jesus Christ walked away, the glory of God in Jesus Christ walked away from the temple. Look with me at Matthew chapter 23. In verses 37 and following. Matthew 23:37, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And why would Jesus Christ leave that temple in Jerusalem desolate? And why in 70 AD would that temple then be destroyed, as it was destroyed in the time of Ezekiel, subsequent to this vision we've been just looking at in Ezekiel 1? Why would Jesus Christ leave the temple, and why would it be destroyed? so that God's mercy in Jesus Christ would come to you and to me. So that God's mercy in Jesus Christ would not be reserved for a people, a small group of people in the Middle East, but so that God's mercy would come to you and to me. Please go back to Ezekiel chapter 11. Verse 4. As I looked, behold, a storm was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it, and in the midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. And then again, verse 28. As the vision comes closer, what does Ezekiel see? He sees the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds as on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. Why were the people in exile? And why was that temple going to be destroyed? So that through the storm, they might experience not only the judgments of God, but the mercy and the grace of God. Who are you? And who am I? I submit to you, friends, you are the people of the exile. You are the people who are sojourning in a foreign land. Is that not the case? Your citizenship is in heaven, in another location. And the glory of God is pleased to come and visit you, you who are strangers and sojourners and members of the exile. Yes, the judgments of God are falling all around. And we know that's true because we live in a fallen world. And we see the judgments of God all around. In many ways, we experience the judgments of God in disease and in death. Oh, no, it's not because there are particular judgments attached to particular diseases. No, that's not the point. The point is, friends, that we live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen world. And that cancer and that leukemia and those other diseases, what are they? They are incipient death. And those murders that take place on the street, what are all of them the result of? In the end, a result of our living in a fallen world. They're the consequences of sin. And yet, in the midst of a fallen world in which the judgments of God are falling all around us, what does God do? He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to the likes of you and me in the midst of the storms of life. And the great God of all comes to us in His glory, wrapped in that rainbow, with His promises, saying to you and to me, remember, remember. Yes, you are exiles, you are sojourners in a foreign land, but I am with you in the foreign land. And there's our point, is it not? That in the storms of life, you take refuge in the glory and the majesty and the greatness of Christ. And as you do so, you understand His judgments better. and you experience the mercy of His grace. When I sat in the car and listened to the radio, and I heard the testimony of a mother who just lost her son in a tragic murder, and she cried out, "Oh God, why? Why did you take the son whom I love?" And she had to admit that a younger son she did not want. And in the midst of that storm in her life, God taught her not only forgiveness for the murder of that eldest son whom she loved, but He came to her in mercy and taught her to love that younger son who for decades she regretted she had. And is that now not how God deals with you and me? In the storms of life, when we see the glory of Christ and take refuge in Him, we have a better understanding of not only God's judgments, but of God's grace and of God's mercy. Let's pray together. Father, open our hearts to the wonder and the majesty of the Christ. Thank You that although we are aliens and strangers in the world, and Your judgments fall all around us, and in many ways we walk through them, yet Your mercy and Your grace is great. And we thank You that this is the case. May we take refuge in You and better understand Your judgments. And also, Father, through Jesus Christ, experience Your grace. Bless us to this end, we do pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.